What's up, guys? This is Level Up Lounge. My name's Mike. This is Jimmy. And we're going to go over the highlights of opening night of Summer Games Fest, also known as SGF.
Massive list.
There is a lot that was shown, but we're going to go through to the ones that really piqued our interest, because all the other ones seemed very... in the same genre. It's just a lot of repetitiveness of the same style of games, but just look different. So we're gonna start off with, they shown off Mortal Shell 2. A lot of people like Mortal Shell 1, I guess, if they're making a second one. For as I know, this is just like a variation of a Souls like.
I needed to play the first one, honestly. It looks good.
It looked good, but it didn't, for some reason, it didn't remind me of Mortal Shell 1 at all. I don't know if it's just like the, how they portrayed the cinematic of it. But it also felt like it was a game trailer too. I'm just going to throw out this in there for the people who are big fans. We have not played the first Death Stranding game, but they did show off more of Death Stranding 2, showing off two new characters for the game. Cool. I'm excited for you guys. Don't know what the heck's gonna go in that game. It's just like every Kojima game.
Pretty much. Leaves you confused.
Every time. Next up, we thought it was cool. Chronicles Medieval. What does it look like? RTS game? Like a battle RTS, like Warhammer? That's what I'm getting at.
I'll say between that to a more visual Age of Empires stuff. You don't get the building, possibly, because, well, it only showed the army and everything.
That's why I'm thinking of, like, the Warhammer stuff.
It gave you, like, you're on a board game, but down in the field.
You know, one thing about this game that the reason why I wanted it to talk just a little bit about it, is that one thing that could sell this game very good, I don't think it's part of it, is if it was a multiplayer game. Multiplayer game as in, I know it's not, because it's going to be a 1v1 or just you versus a computer.
I could see it being a co-op or multi.
Not just that, but like, you know how the Dynasty Warrior games, you had all the people face all of them, where you face a bunch or group of people. And you got chivalry, you know, a group of multiplayer people playing those characters. What if you have the main guy as your leader, but then you got hundreds of other people on your team, physical people facing a whole nother team? So it's like a 200 lobby, like you're thinking a battlefield, but in medieval times. How sick would that be? I don't know how it would work, because you had your I guess your king, but he's making the play calls for wherever sectors or however, wherever it works. But then you have all these people.
I would say for that, though, to be on that scale.
Oh, you need a hell of your servers need to be in the freezer.
Not just that, you need the publicity of it, but you would need the high support, kind of like how Call of Duty, Battlefield, all of them have that big support. You would need that to make that even possible. Without that, and just jump straight in for that, unless you have bots or whatever built in, that's going to not work at all.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. You're
thinking large scale, not.
I'm thinking the full fledged thing. I think you're right. I think it's smart to have like half, maybe. Let's just say half. Half bots, but then the others is players. I think that's just a cool aspect of it.
That would be kind of like how the Star Wars game is. There's a lot of bots in and everything.
Oh, Battlefront? Like the newer one? Even though the newest Battlefront's garbage, but it's getting a little up because people want another Battlefront. Blah, blah, blah. It's because of Fortnite. Continuing, Codevein 2 got announced. I've never played Codevein 1. A lot of fans for it. I know that.
Definitely going to look into the one.
The first one, I guess I was not really interested in it because of the weird anime vibe it gives. It's a certain point of anime and art style that I can't get into. But this one, it looked good. It looked like the boss fights looked really good. It just looks different. And also the vibe with it, very Souls-esque. You know what I'm saying? Like the mysterious,
yeah,
dark, but it was more of a lighter tone.
I say, but definitely. And for me, that style doesn't bother me. I'm going to say most likely I probably didn't look at the first one, probably because I got distracted on something else.
Oh, that's
I'm very, ooh, shiny. Let's go over there.
Yeah, that's everybody.
Definitely want to look at the first one.
So, next one that we're just going to talk about for a moment was the Game of Thrones War of
Westeros.
Westeros. Not a Game of Thrones fan. Don't hate me. Watch the first season.
It's a tip of scale.
It didn't suck me in. I'm picking Lord of the Rings all day long.
You're talking to someone that watched the first season and then watched the last season. I got to where I wanted, the dragons. And then I got to watch the war at the end.
I mean, everybody loves dragons. Exactly. And nobody loves big war fights.
Because I wanted to see where the dragons, and I saw the dragons. I'm like, okay, I'm happy.
Fair enough.
But it's definitely a back and forth. There's good scenes throughout the series. But going with the game, like he was saying, for me on that point, I'm not sure what he's going to say fully, is I was expecting a different kind of turn, not how they were putting it.
Right. So
very odd.
Their description, you were getting right there. Their description for this game wasn't what we thought it was. It's going to be an RTS strategy game. Was not expecting that at all. I was thinking of you play as this random new character, I guess, to face Jon Snow, the whatever, the Ice King Lord, whatever, who the fuck it is, and maybe ride a dragon or something. I don't know. Maybe it's your next Skyrim game, maybe. That's what I was expecting from them trying to say they were making a Game of Thrones game.
Remember about the new about Elder Scrolls.
Off
subject.
I swear to God.
All
right. We just want to touch base on that because it was not what we expected, but
I expected something Games of Thrones like coming into the games.
Oh yeah, but it was announced that they were making a Games of Thrones game, but not like this.
Yeah.
With
how big Game of Thrones is, and with House of the Dragons and all that stuff, it's odd seeing it being portrayed as this. Maybe they show more might give a better intake on it.
Yeah, we don't know. We didn't see actual gameplay footage. We got a game cinematic.
Yeah.
It'll
be interesting to see where they're going with this fully.
Yeah, time will tell. Next up, the creators of Atomic Heart have been working on two things. Atomic Heart 2. Looks fantastic. I mean, there's so much going on in that game. Whenever I watched that trailer, it was nutty. Super nutty. I mean, it looked like Cyberpunk met Atomic Heart, met like GTA. It was everything underneath the sun and moon, it felt like.
Getting a refresher, so.
Are you not hooked on the internet?
I'm in a little trouble at the moment.
One to sure. Be on the internet.
I've never bothered with it.
And also, they are working on a project called the Cube.
Yes. Cube definitely looked interesting. I'm really intrigued to see what more comes out for. because that will make it definitely a different concept and idea of seeing, especially if like you're on the queue.
Yeah, didn't they say this was going to be an MMO yep. RPG?
Well, they didn't say RPG, they said MMO.
Yeah, which, I mean,
so
either that, that's weird. That's a weird take. Like, I don't, you know what? That's a company who did well in the first one, I think. The second one looks fantastic. I think it'll do well too. And I think it's a company that should take that risk of doing something out of their nature to risk it for the biscuit. Right. People are too scared to risk it for the biscuit.
Okay, that's what we're talking
about. They're afraid to lose the money. It's always about the money. Just risk it. I get it that, listen, are you, I'm going to laugh about it, and I'm going to be truthful about it. It's like Bungie. They're risking to do a extraction shooter for Marathon. Look what's happened. Look what happened. Got their fucking asses handed to them by plagiarism.
Oh, that's... I watched another podcast dealing with that subject, and I agree with a lot of them.
Now, I don't know how to
dig out of that hole.
Now, it sucks that they did try to risk it for the biscuit, but now they caught doing things that they shouldn't have, especially in a
shady form.
Shady, shitty, and a professional aspect. And also, like, I feel like they're just butchering Destiny. And it really loses a person who's played Destiny for nearly a decade and does not want to come back to the game really at all. Even if one thing looks semi interesting, it's like I can't get pulled back in. It doesn't feel, I feel like it's tainted now. Tainted. But moving on, that's enough. That's that. I'm excited to try out Atomic Heart 2. It sounds like I probably should play first one, so I'll better get on that before. Did they say this was next year, 2026?
Release date.
You know, I could probably move my mouse over here and scroll up on the screen, but
fuck that. Make me work for it. No, there is no release date yet.
No release date for Atomic Heart 2, and definitely not for the Cube, because that is their Steam project currently. So,
okay, there's something speculating sometime, maybe next year, but yeah, that's not a nothing hard yet.
Next up is Onimusha, Way of the Sword. It's going to be... I feel like you're a Neo... single player style game. It's not going to be like a Neo game. It's not going to be a Souls kind of like game. It's going to be more kind of like Ghost of Tsushima. That's how I'm getting from this game, which I love Japanese-esque games. It's
just with more flair to it.
More flair, and also this is an old franchise that's being basically renewed, I feel like. A lot of people excited. It looks fantastic. I'm super excited for it. Next up, you can talk about this one. It's freaking...
This one I'm a little intrigued with because it was funny. That's the main thing. It was funny. Stupid. It made us both laugh. We're going, what the hell are we watching? But it was pretty much Muppets boxing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with felt that boxing.
It wasn't called Muppets Boxing. It should have been at that point.
Yeah.
It's called Felt That Boxing.
Don't know what's really going on. We're going to see more, but it was funny. So that's why I put my initial on that one, because it gave us a good laugh. It deserved at least some talk.
Yeah, I guess so. Just like this next one needs some talk. Next one is, everyone thought Ark Riders was going to get shadow dropped today. It didn't. It's getting released on October 30th. Not even a beta was released. Moving on.
Damn.
Next up is actually probably I'm more excited of this Mafia game than the other ones. Mafia the Old Country. It just felt very I don't know. I
gave you that old feel, but with
in a good way
with the new polish on it.
It just looked way more polished than Mafia 5. Mafia 5 did not appeal to me at all. Like the quality of it didn't look good to me. I don't know why. And I feel like the story was kind of bland. This has it felt like more depth and more of a connection. And a personal style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I say the Mafia games is definitely one I've always wanted to play. But again, my brain is like a squirrel. So once I get sidetracked on something else that's more appealing to my brain, it's hard for me to go back. And then I forget about it until years later.
Well, what sucks is it's like Mafia games are comparable to like Witcher games now. Yes. You try to go back to play like Mafia 1, it's like trying to play Witcher 1, and it's like, death.
That's why I really hope something gets announced for Witcher 1 remake. I love Witcher 1's story, I did, but damn those mechanics. After playing 3 and trying to go back to 1, like, oh god, no. Actually, no, I started off 1, 2, and then to 3. I got to feel the progression, but still.
Oh, you did, because I remember this is when we first started being friends, and I was watching his streams.
You go, what the fuck are you doing?
And he's playing Witcher 1, and it was rough to watch because it wasn't a typical game to playing. But he was leaning up to playing Witcher 3.
It was definitely because it was recommended to play the 1 so you can feel the difference each one brought.
Oh, there's a massive difference.
And just going from 1 to 2, there was a huge gap that went. So, yeah, that's hopefully that remake makes that fighting so much easier. Please, God, we need that fighting so much easier.
Next up is a game that is going to be good for if you're
family,
co-op, just anything really. Lego Voyagers. It really was a cute little game. Cute Lego co-op exploring adventure game.
Too much.
Nothing more. Yeah.
Like, something, even just get off work and play with a buddy or your wife or whoever and just kind of something to just relax.
It's a relaxing game. It's not like, oh, I got to time my parries.
You're still enjoying it.
Dude, I don't even care. If we're talking about games, that's what this stuff is for. Even though we're talking about highlight stuff, Expedition 33, I'm nearing at the end of Act 2. It is the best game of the year. Don't question me.
But the timings.
It's rough. You have to be on there. Next up, Liza P Overture. Finally, Liza P gets a DLC. A lot of people love this. This is probably, honestly, it's within the past year, it's been a lot of people's favorite.
Did they say it's DLC or is that a standalone?
I thought it was a DLC. I'm second guessing. I mean, the title seems like a standalone, but also Liza P. I don't think really.
Okay, yep, it is a DLC.
Okay. Thank God. I want to sound like an idiot. Already do. Liza P, a lot of people love it. It's one of their favorite Souls-like games. To me, I hate Souls-like games. But I want to play them to get that feeling that people always tell me you will love the feeling of you beating a boss after the 15,000th try.
All that anger feels accomplished at that point.
Like, the most I've played of a Souls game is Dark Souls 3, and I played well. It was way... I don't even remember where I stopped. I know it was well after the Abyss Watchers. But I don't know. That might be way down the road when games are dry. After this, I don't remember this game. Fractured Blooms. Oh, Fractured Blooms is a Oh, it's a Silent Hill meets, not a. Oh, what? It's like a. Yeah, you gotta look that up. It's like a. Okay, either way, in this point, I'll tell you that a lot of these other games that were shown to have been very similar. A lot of them have been very roguelike style games. A lot of them are bringing back that like 8-bit side-scrolling or like Zelda old-school classic games. For example, like one game that they shown was Mina the Hollower. It looked very cool. Like you can get upgrades, your dungeon scrolling or it. I feel like they're bringing back all the old school style games to this modern era of gaming and to like help people appreciate the old games.
Yeah.
And helping like the younger people
see what we had,
but in their games, which is cool. I love it.
Yes, I love. And to turn it back a little bit to Fractured Blooms, that was the one that started off pretty nice, little girl and everything. Slowly went darker.
Right, but what was it? It was like we saw a description and it fit it perfect. It was like, Silent Hill.
It's got like a Silent Hill feel to it,
but it was first person. It was first person, had a Silent Hill vibe, but also I felt like it had like a Alan Wake / Resident Evil,
yeah,
mentally tripping vibe. That's how I got from it, which sure. I'm going to play that. That's definitely on the list. I think my second favorite, this is probably my second favorite game. Gosh, that was shown
today, Junior.
But yes, Deadpool VR, dude, it looked hilarious.
It was funny.
And like I said, the only reason I would, if I get a MetaQuest, we'll play Thief, we'll play Deadpool, and then probably 1,000 other VR games because I'll have a VR. And I have the space.
I'll have you play the Resident Evil 7 or whatever. VR. And I want it recorded so I can
listen. I don't mind playing it, but I have seen the whole game playthrough, so I know like,
yes, but even
like I know the atmosphere feels different.
Cole has mentioned that puts you in a whole new world.
Oh no, he and another streamer they had to take like hourly breaks.
Yep,
it was that intense.
It messed with your mental if you didn't.
I'll heavily sweat. I gotta go change my pants, not my shirt, my pants.
But I want that fear.
What are you talking about, Deadpool? I'm gonna have to change my pants too.
Too many chimichangas.
Up next was
Dying Light.
Dying Light, the Beast. The next big DLC for Dying Light. Yep. Actually, I think it's the only DLC right now.
I'll rephrase that. Dying Light. Two.
Dying Light 2 DLC, I forgot the to put Beast. Two at it, so that's it's all good. Bad. We're good. We knew. They know now.
Well, I'm updating it now because
it looks fantastic. I haven't played the second one at all. I know it looks way better than the first. The first we tried playing it co-op, it was terrible. It was just a bad experience.
Yeah, but
at that point. We were playing on our worst PCs that we ever had.
Well, that, but no, I looked it up, and that was a common issue that never got fixed, unfortunately. So, solo works well. The co-op always had those bugs, and it was hard for anyone to play co-op with that one. But in Dying Light 2, there's been a lot of better reviews with co-op, so...
The better. Or else. Next up is going to be a combination. Mind's Eye is going to be a new single player. But they are going to do a collaboration with Hitman, but also Hitman is doing a collaboration with 007. It's crazy because Mind's Eye is being made by the same creators of 007 First Light, the IO Interactive team, which they allowed them to, not really allowed them, but Hitman is getting the Casino Royale boss, which is called Legionnaire, I think is his name. Legionnaire
sounds right. It's sort of Lee, and then it had all the longer names.
Which is cool. And then there were some few things that you can, if you beat it, you can, within the next 30 days, you can get something for the new game, First Light, 007 First Light, which is cool. I mean, looks like IO Interactive is going to be one of those triple A teams that might do good, but can't really promise that these days. Continuing, we got Blighted. Was this the roguelike?
Yes, this was the roguelike.
That you can do single player or co-op. Yep.
I was just looking up because I'm like, crap, don't remember.
Reason we started at this point is that's when I was going to say, like, there was a lot of roguelites, I feel like, being shown lately. And I feel like people are trying to get there and try to make their best roguelike because they know Hades 2 is going to just be phenomenal. And right. I think they're trying to put their two cents of, like, hey, ours can be just as good as Hades 2. But I don't think so. Next up is a game called Ill. Yet again, this is on the same platform, like this, the same atmosphere as a Resident Evil, gory. Silent Hill, gory, but also it seemed like it had some fun.
It had some
moments that it doesn't make you feel, I don't feel like it's going to force you to feel scared, more like an action-packed horror, I guess. Really?
That's a six that baby's face in front of your screen like it did in that trailer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hello.
Yeah, but you can kick them. It showed you can kick them. I'm okay with that.
I just think anytime I see that, I think of South Park, kick the baby.
No, every time I think that is when the, what was it? Was it not Seed of Chucky? Maybe it was Seed of Chucky. I don't remember when Chucky got pummeled into the RV, into the oven, and got fried. It was when he was with the chick doll. That was not Seed of Chucky, the other one.
Bride of Chucky.
It was Bride of Chucky when Chucky got kicked into the freaking oven and fried, but then still lived just because of witchcraft and
Chuckiness.
Yeah, Chuckiness. What the hell? Another one that just was hilarious was infinitesimals.
That sounds right, because I was basically infinite and decimal. That's how I got it. That's why I was confused when I read it.
Right. But also, if you just wanted to, this is what I'm going to call it, Ant Life 2. It's not produced by Disney. It's produced by somebody else.
Kind of like Grounded, but it's...
Yeah. Someone said it was like Grounded meets Ants, but futuristic.
Yes.
I think it's Ants Life 2. Without Disney. We had Wuchang Fallen Feathers. And again, it was just I feel like it's one of those another Japanese boss fighting esque games, which it has a lot of I felt like it had a lot of vibes of Black Wukong, which that game did very well last year.
Uh-huh. And that's why I'm hoping that they keep with how that one did and did the storytelling. Yeah, it got some backlash, but a lot of people loved that it stuck to what it was doing. And that's what got a lot of it being praised and everything, was how the storytelling went with the lore and all that stuff to it.
Well, to me, for what my understanding was, the lore of Black Wukong was pretty spot on to the novel.
Yep.
And I don't think people realize that when they played the game.
A lot of people didn't until others were saying it, and then they went and looked at it, or they went and researched
themselves. Or they probably didn't finish the whole game and did the, and how it, I mean, have you seen the playthrough of it?
I haven't watched the playthrough. I've
seen. Are you planning on playing it?
Probably one point. It looks good.
Okay. I'll leave it as is. But like how they ended the game made the game really good in its aspect.
Dimension.
Next up is Stranger of Heaven. This had like an old, it was set in the 1943. It was a very Japanese Tokyo-esque back then. Like a
Vegas look start, but it wasn't Vegas, but it had the
like Chinatown. It was it felt like a modern Chinatown, but in an older year setting, and felt like you went through different doors to different time settings or something, different areas. It looked good. I liked the vibe. It almost made me feel like Cowboy Bebop.
In a way, actually, yes.
Like a grounded Cowboy Bebop.
God, I don't know why.
No kidding. Man, it makes me want to watch it now. And lastly, what the heavens have granted upon us was Resident Evil Requiem. I don't believe this is going to be a... Thinking about it very quickly and loosely, I don't think it's going to be a continuation. I think it's a new thing. It's a new...
Also like a new reality.
A new alternate reality, but also a friend of the stream has told us that the girl who is in this, Grace, is the daughter of someone in Outbreak Resident Evil, that video game, which is cool. I never played Outbreak. I heard it was a terrible game. And also wasn't really into the newer Resident Evils at the time when that was being released. I'm excited. I loved Resident Evil 7, 8. And then seeing them doing all the remakes, seeing this, at first I was like, oh, we got some office job that's going to turn into like, what, Control 2 or something that I was getting at. But no, they like, when I saw RPD, I was like, heck yeah.
Well, with them also being the last thing they were going to be showing and saying that it was something that's been big and was a glimpse for them last year when all speculated. You knew it was going to be something, it had to be something good, and it was slowly bringing you up to what was going to be shown.
Right.
It made you actually sit there and question, go, what am I watching? What is this? What game is this?
Now, when a trailer does that, or a company does that to the audience, they sold you.
Especially when you're going, it is that. No, it's not that. It is. No. Shit. Which one is it?
Now for our highlights for the Xbox showcase. A lot was shown today. A lot. I mean, I think probably more than the past two things from State of Play and Summer Games Fest. Actually, that's a lie. I think Summer Games Fest had just as equal amount, but not as hype. I don't know how to put it. I was more happy with the outcome of Xbox Game Showcase than Summer Games Fest opening night.
Well, Summer Games technically had more, but it was a lot of more indie and everything else, so there was that in play. But this, they showed a lot more big titles for
big titles that we knew that was gonna been shown.
Yeah.
Like it hit every note that we expected, except for like a couple things, maybe. But like, for example, they showed off right off the rip Outer Worlds 2, which that makes sense. That was their biggest one of their biggest games that they wanted to be shown off and focused on for this showcase.
All that, and that they're doing an hour talk over with the show after the show ended. So
when they have like a specific dedicated like direct for that studio and game, you know they're excited to show off what they have made and what's going to be in the game and what you can do and stuff, which is great. That's fantastic, because I feel like if that's one of their biggest developers, and they want to show off everything, which means they're coming very close to the game being released.
And like I said, I looked it up, and they don't have a release date, but it is scheduled for this year, roughly. So I'm going to figure late fall to winter time.
Next up, with another, honestly, fan favorite was High Life 2.
Yes.
First game is hilarious. It's it's funny. There's so many references, so many naughty references.
So many things you could do you didn't think you could do in a game.
And I don't know how it was allowed to be in a game.
We got Deadpool, so it's allowed.
That is true. When there's a Deadpool VR or the Xbox 360 Deadpool game, and there was things said and was done, I think anything's allowed nowadays, except for hentai porn games, which those are allowed on Steam. Continuing. Next up was shown was Resonance. Just another good hitter. Like, I don't know.
I had to see more, obviously, because, well, it was the first time showing it, but it looked good from what it was shown.
So. One that was shown off last year, the Blood of the Dawnwalker, which is going to be really good. It's going to have a good story, I think.
I don't remember much of it, so that was
it's just you're just a guy, basically got turned, but you don't turn into a full vampire. You're basically a daywalker zombie. Basically, think of Blade, but not Blade at the same time. But in medieval, I don't know what you call it, like fantasy medieval time setting. I don't know what that setting is exactly.
I would say kind of. Because they had powers and everything.
Yeah, so you know that Skyrim-esque feel? That's what I get from it, but more of a linear way, I think, this is going to be. Next up, Super Meat Boy 3D. It's going to be another platformy
3D. Meat Boy.
Yeah, there's another Meat Boy game. It's called Dark Fantasy. Okay, yeah. Ninja Gaiden 4 is going to come out. That's cool.
It's been a while since a Ninja Gaiden came out, isn't it?
What?
It's been a while since a Ninja Gaiden came, hasn't it?
It's been a while. I think they did like a remaster a year or two ago. I think it was a remaster.
I've never kept up with it.
I thought when they first shown the game, I was confused. I was like, oh, this is not Ninja Gaiden, but it was the people who made the Ninja Gaiden games, the Team Ninja. And I was like, oh, this isn't, this is like some other, what do you want to call it? Like not ARPG, but like a Japanese linear hack and slash boss fighting game, sort of like, the Code Vein 2. I was kind of like, I was kind of similar to that, but no, Ninja Gaiden 4, sick, huge fans of it, hard games back in the day, from my experience. Next up, a great game that released this year, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. They are coming out with a DLC.
Can't write down the name of it, so I don't remember.
It was like, gosh dang it. You get help here, and he doesn't fulfill that help.
Hey, I wrote all the damn names as we're coming. Leave me alone. And I didn't even think nothing of that. I'm like, wait, I should have done that.
It's all good.
But it was a lot of writing to write all that crap, too. So.
I should have it right here, called The Order of the Giants.
There we go.
Comes out in September.
I was thinking something about a boulder.
not gonna lie.
Oh my gosh. Up next was Beast of Reincarnation. Just another hitter. From my understanding, it looked like a. It's funny is Beast of Reincarnation is being developed by Game Freak. Guess what? Game Freak is a longtime Pokemon developer, and they're making this. When I see a company or developer team making this style of a game, and then all of a sudden it's not your typical Pokemon game, that means like they have more talent than they ever had before. Like, it blows my mind, because now you could think of, like, wow, we could have had, like, a realism Pokemon game. But
more of the Japanese fantasy, dark fantasy style.
Yeah.
Beast of Reincarnation.
I'm not saying it out loud, just pull up them and show all this.
I just look at the trailer. I just need to see a little bit, and I can understand.
Because I'm looking at some notes, and it's a little tough. Clockwork Revolution, this is like one of the big games that needed to be shown off.
Yes.
Sadly, no release date, but this game looks really good. Like, yes. I'm more excited for this than Outer Worlds 2.
Yeah, definitely is my top pick that I was hoping something would be shown. Glad shown. Bummed that there's not a release date yet, but. Rather than work on it, get it good, get it right, and polished, and then release it.
Right.
Instead of rushing it.
Totally agree.
It looks amazing as it is already.
They showed it off Grounded 2, which I heard no bad about Grounded 1.
No.
And kudos to them being able to make a second one, but I feel like when you make this style of a game of like a adventure, open world, insect/building game, I feel like you should add more content to the original one. I don't know how to put it. Right. I don't think you should make a sequel. I think you should add more content to the original game because it... I don't know, it's like Minecraft. They don't make Minecraft 2. They just add content to the thing. That's they should make the world bigger and add more content to it. That's just my personal opinion. Next up is Chronos: The New Dawn. This was the
one that looked like Dead Space to you.
This looked like a very heavily Dead Space vibe game.
Oh yeah.
And I'm down for it. So down for it. Nothing much really to say about it. It was another Dead Space vibe game, which I feel like a lot of people are making that style of a game, that genre, which I mean, I love that genre. Next one, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It was called Aphelion, I think.
Something like that.
This was the one that shown a ship getting crashed down on Earth or a planet. And it looked like a walking simulator, but then it had like a twist at the end of like there's something dark that's on that world. Seems like that's always the case of every slow journey game. There's always a twist at the end. Next up, There Are No Ghosts at the Grand. Now, this game looked like a cleaning simulator for a town, but then you look like you...
with a secret behind the clean.
No kidding. And you turn into a Ghostbuster. That's how I feel like. Oh, in Walking Book Mimics.
Yes. No, it wasn't a book mimic. It was a chair that turned into a whatever that was.
Yeah. It had a very Sea of Thieves vibe to it. Who knows? I think he'll do good. Next up, Mudang Two Hearts.
Some style.
It had Japanese voice acting and actors, and it looked like they had supernatural, but also you can have guns. It looked like a Splinter Cell mix with superpower villains or abilities. Super down for that, because that might have been the Splinter Cell remake that quote unquote people thought it was, but it's not.
Could be. Didn't pay to sell, so I just have to on that. Add that vibe to it.
All good to me. Next up, Planet of Lana 2. I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember this one. No. Oh, yes. Yes. It was the side-scrolling one where looked like people were getting captured by these robots. just like Ori and the Blind Forest kind of style of a game. Then we got a Solo Leveling Arise video game. It just looked like a hack and slash boss battling game. Then we had
not
your
surprise on that one.
Now next we have your conf. This is going to be a problem. I feel like again.
I'm saying it's Animo.
It's well, yeah. The game's called Animo, and it looked like you can become a Pokemon slash Power World creature. So I feel like there's going to be some lawsuits again on that.
Hopefully not, because it looks like it could be a cute game and everything. Because it doesn't have the Power World full feel, but you could fill it in there.
Right, okay. Then this next one, it was called At Fate's End. Now, do you remember what this one was?
Was another side scroll was one that kept having like the sword come out of her chest or
yes.
The back of the guy.
Yeah, it looked like, I don't know how to put it. It was not heavily detailed in a game, but also looked like it had the aspect of replayability. Like it was like I feel like it can be a roguelike at this point, because it looked like you can get abilities that you can pick from.
Yeah.
But then there was like boss battle fights.
Right.
So it looked like a side-scrolling roguelike. Now
his favorite. Now
we're gonna be getting into like actually like the next stuff.
Well,
was kind of really.
There's only like two in there that.
There's like four that were really pretty eventful.
Next well, no, I was saying that wasn't. There was like two.
Two of them that were like eh.
Yeah.
My favorite gaming series of all time, Gears of War. They shown off Gears of War Reloaded. It's going to be cross-play on all platforms. PC, Xbox, PlayStation 5. It's
remaster 4K, everything.
Everything underneath the sun and more. Which, another thing I did, whenever I got excited was that it's going to be co-op split screen.
Yes.
That we don't see very often anymore, which is great, because that kind of helps the PlayStation community get that feeling like when Xbox, because we could do it on Xbox when it came out, but like for the PlayStation people, they don't, if they never owned an Xbox or played Gears of War, they can experience that same playthrough of co-op with their friends.
Right.
I'm super excited. I know what I'm getting myself into. I can't wait to play with Jimmy. And this comes out August 26th, and it's going to be released on Xbox, PC. If you have Game Pass, it's going to be released on there day one for free. It actually gets a physical release, I know, for PlayStation, which I kind of want to just buy it be, to have the a physical version of Reloaded.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time PlayStation's getting a, getting a physical release, and you don't know if that's ever going to happen for a Xbox exclusive for all platforms. Next up was a rumor slash leak, Persona 4 Revival. It's going to be the Persona 4 remake, basically. And I've never played it, but the Persona games have a fantastic has a crazy community and has a great soundtrack. Next up is Invincible. They're getting a fighting game, which a lot of people say the show's great, but
it's a fighting game.
It's going to be a fighting game. I don't know how I feel about it. It's
3v3.
Yeah, 3v3. I just don't know. I'm just going to move forward. Next up, these next two things were crazy that they were mentioned. Getting Final Fantasy VII Remake integrated. Which is going to be, we don't know when it's going to be released. We just know it's coming to Game Boy, not Game Boy, not even close to Game Boy. It's going to be released on Xbox Game Pass. We don't have a release date. Like I said, integrated is the version that you get like the full one, whatever content, the extra content within it.
Let's go. It's branching out finally. Took long enough.
And then Final Fantasy 16 is one that they just threw in there too.
Dropping today
that you can play on there. I'm excited because then I don't have to pay for the games when I said I was going to pay for them and play them with my wife. Now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't play them with her. But at the same time, if I do, I probably won't. We'll probably play 16 or something. I don't know. Next is Keeper. It looks like just a walking simulator as a lighthouse and a bird.
Was the lighthouse one.
Cool. It looked good, but it's a game for a certain type of community. Nothing about that.
Yep.
This is a game that I was not expecting. One, because
we said no more fucking Call of Duty. God damn it.
It might be a Call of Duty that I play just a campaign, but also they showed
something. Zombies. We're going to touch multiplayer. Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. We know what's going to happen.
They secretly shown off Call of Duty Black Ops 7, which I was telling myself I would never play, which I haven't gone back to playing Black Ops 6, but why? Why were the I'm just confused why they showed Black Ops 7.
I don't know, but yeah, it would be interesting seeing everybody else's reaction, because nowhere till it showed the name gave you a Call of Duty feel. It didn't feel anything like what COD would make out. So
yeah,
definitely 3 in the loop.
I'm very lost in what they're doing with the Call of Duty IP, I guess, at that point. Because the little cinematic storytelling that they were giving is definitely something I'm interested in. So I guess we'll give the campaign a try. Don't know if it's co-op or anything, but I might give it a try.
Oh.
And another big thing that they show in the middle of the show, or somewhat at the beginning, they're actually ROG is owned by Asus. They're coming out with a ROG Xbox handheld console, and everything that was shown today at their showcase is going to be playable on that handheld. So we could play Persona 4 Revival on it. You could play Gears of War Reloaded, the Final Fantasy games on it.
Pretty much everything.
And it's crazy as you're able to play other Windows stuff on it. So Battle.net, Steam, yeah, you'll be able to play those games on that handheld, which I like that because that means is it going to be a little competitor to the Switch 2?
Well, that and it'll go with the Steam Deck too.
Yeah.
Because it's going to do everything peripheral the Steam Deck can do and more.
For sure. I kind of, that's one handheld I think I might be interested in getting.
Right.
I think that's a, it'll be released next year, I think.
Probably. If not, one more year. But it, I definitely like how they started off right out the get-go saying, anything shown will be on Game Pass. So everything they showed today will be on Game Pass. Whether it's day one or not, don't know fully.
But... Oh, no, I forgot. They did mention it was supposed to be launched at holiday of this year.
Oh, they did? Oh,
yeah, damn. I forgot about that.
Well, he had one made and working, so it makes sense.
But information on pre-orders and pricing accessories are coming soon, which they'll have like another, not really an event, I don't think. They'll probably just show...
They could have the pricing drop this next weekend.
Yeah, you never know. I'm excited for everything that was shown today. I think Xbox won the showcase of the weekend. Still got PC Gaming Show, which we don't know what's going to be shown there, which I don't think it's going to be better than what the other shows shown off.
It's going to be hard to top it because, yeah, Xbox showed a lot of good things. Only thing that wasn't mentioned on the list that I didn't write down, like I told him, was DLC stuff, and it was like, the Fallout 76 DLC that's going on right now, or event, and then it was Elder Scrolls Online's new DLC.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be more of like a homey style additive to it, so.
Right.
Definitely for the Elder Scrolls fans that play online and everything, that's definitely a hit for them.
Alright, that wraps up the Xbox Showcase highlights and reveals. Alright. Over the past weekend, we watched State of Play, Summer Games Fest opening night, Xbox Showcase, and majority of PC Gaming Show. Out of those three, what do you think had the better show, and why?
Let me go first.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, for me, and it's probably going to be close for him, but I could see him possibly picking a different. I'm saying the Xbox Showcase just because other than had many good titles, games, something even looking interesting enough to put on the list of course, massive list, it finally showcased Clockwork Revolutions for me, which I've been waiting for to see more. Sadly, no release date yet, but there's been a lot more and showing that it's getting close to being done. So definitely for me, that's what really tipped the scale, but there were just a number of different things that happened during the showcase that was just nice hitters, whether they were expected titles or unexpected. And like State of Play and Summerfest for me didn't have that hit. They had some, but it wasn't, it'd be a handful for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, for me, I'm honestly, I think I'm going to go with State of Play. State of Play had a bunch of single player, each of them had a spot where it was good, but I think I got more excited for like State of Play. Of all the things that they shown off. For me, I mean, like, it, the massive hitter. I don't know. I'm going to say State of Play was probably my favorite. Even though Xbox Showcase showed, I mean, I knew what Gears of War Reloaded was going to be, and... no, man, it's tough. It is a tough call.
You're bouncing.
His State of Play and they showed off Silent Hill F, and they showed the massive Marvel fighting game, which looked amazing. The music was freaking awesome too in it. Then Xbox Showcase, they showed all the like Clockwork Revolutions. They showed Outer Worlds 2. They came in swinging, showing, having Final Fantasy 16 on there, and then eventually we'll have Final Fantasy 7 Remake integrated, which was really good. And then they like freaking tripped us out on showing Call of Duty Black Ops 7.
Yeah, the way they showed it.
And the way they showed it was kind of intriguing, and like, God, that was not on my bingo card for sure.
Well, then they showed many different ones, like High on Life 2, Renaissance, Beast and Reincarnation, Chronos, many, many different titles that weren't even on the forecast that just kind of came and showed themselves and said, hello, you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, and I'm just going through because I don't know.
I'll say a number of hitters, whether it was on the list or not, at least for me and you, Xbox did it. For State of Play and Summerfest, I would say there's probably 5 to 7 tops that really caught either of our interest.
I mean, be honest, like, for Xbox's showcase, that really sold them was showing their handheld Black Ops 7, the Final Fantasy stuff that's going to drop, Persona Revival, Gears of War Reloaded. I mean, I knew they were going to show something Gears of War. If they showed anything Gears of War, rather it be E-Day than Reloaded, because I know all that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clockwork Revolution looked really good, Chronos and Outer Worlds. But, like, those felt like they could be very short and hit-miss games. Like, to me, I know Black Ops 7, like, pretty sure that's like for their campaign looked really good. Persona Revival, so what a lot of people want, that's really good. I'm gonna say Xbox for me. You're right, Xbox, but then it's like right there on the edge of Xbox's butt is State of Play. Then I'm gonna put Summer Games Fest, because everything Summer Games Fest shown was good, but I mean, what made it top was Resident Evil Requiem. That's the only thing we got out of that, I think.
That'll be the big seller for Fest.
Yeah, Xbox Showcase, because they sold it with, you know, their stuff that they needed to capitalize on, which I'm disappointed that they didn't show Fable, which they should have. And I think what helped them was their new handheld to compete with the gaming industry in general. I think they're good with their main console, and then getting an application on PC so they can let PC players enjoy more games. I think now they're focusing more on playing anywhere and everywhere kind of deal, even with those heavier games, like when Gears of War comes out, you can play on that handheld.
Yeah.
And regardless, I think Xbox had a better showcase, and just because of everything they shown and how they presented it on a explaining sections. Like, there were like 3 different sections that they had different presenters explain certain things, and how they paced out their work in their showing of games.
Yeah.
I think all the PC gaming did a terrible job on that. I think they need to. I think they're more focused on PC indie games. Yes, and
that's what the big thing for them is. It's more for all the sleeper indies and all that. So it's primarily focal points. So it's not going to be on newer titles. Right. I didn't think of that until after I started showing a bunch of them. Like, this makes a little more sense.
Right. Then next up, what would have made each presentations or shows, better games or more content shown, better flow of the presenting, the games that need to be shown off. Like updates of things that they should have shown from this showcases of last year's stuff. So, for example, like Xbox Showcase, do you think they should have did a showcase of like Fable because they've shown it in the past and they should have put that in there to make the show even better? I mean, I think it would have, I mean, anything would have helped Xbox and State of Play and Summer Games Fest even better if they showed more content, better games, or, I mean, I don't think the better games thing should be a thing, like a reason, because I think they've shown good games, and I don't think each one could have outdid themselves with what they've shown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think State of Play would have been better if they shown a really, real, like, a heavy PlayStation title only, Sony title. You know what I mean? Well, like, your just... next God of War or Uncharted or Jack and Daxter or Days Gone, not stuff like that.
The problem with the number of them, which, yes, it makes it look usually real nice on it, is their heavy focus on the cinema. Show more gameplay. Everybody always wants more gameplay. It doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. Make it a minute. Make it something so you can see what you'll be seeing inside the game. Not, oh, I see the cinema. And then get to the gameplay and you're like, this is not what I purchased.
Right. So and what, like, for example, I mean,
that's a big seller point.
What sucks is some people don't understand the difference. They can't tell the difference from gameplay and just cinematic stuff sometimes.
Well, that's why at the bottom they say,
like, yeah, actual footage. That's why now they definitely put, this is actual footage from
PlayStation Xbox 5. Xbox did that with a lot of theirs, which was good. And that's what State of Play and the Fest should have done. That would have made theirs a lot better, because there was a number of them where, like, what are we doing? What's this game do? We don't.
Like, but there was at the same thing.
You didn't watch it. There was for the future game. I kind of skimped through it, seeing clips and everything. And there was one. It's like you're walking in the woods and all that. And there's a cabin, and then it just gets a name. Like, it was a rainy forest and a cabin. What's this supposed to be about? You got zero context.
Right. But it sucks. You as a consumer want more gameplay. But the same thing, if you have a time slotted game show, there's only so much you can show in a certain amount of time to fit in everything that you have acquired.
Well, that's why you can nitpick on the cinema that you want. And like I said, even 30 seconds, that's all you need.
I guess, but I mean, what if you don't have that 30 seconds because another game has 30 seconds extra of something? So, like, for example, we didn't get that much of Resident Evil Requiem. There is no gameplay.
No, that was all cinema.
That's all cinema, first-person view, camera, in-game stuff. You're in the engine of the game as a camera.
Yeah, like I said, they could have shaved a little bit off the cinema just to show a little bit, but we've seen Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. We kind of
know what we're expecting.
That's what Capcom does for all their
I'm meaning more towards a lot of the games that doesn't have titles or anything like that, that you don't know anything about.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So for example, like...
So like that Wood one that I was talking about, you don't know anything about it, so you're like, okay, I'm seeing this as a cinema. What's going on?
Right. No, I get you. I think there should always be a split of gameplay and cinematic, like,
especially on new games.
Something. But I'm as a person who plays so many video games nowadays, I'm tired of seeing your montage-y gameplay cinematic crap. I've seen it so much in Destiny and Bungie stuff nowadays. It's just, it gets old. I don't think people should do that. I think people, if you're making it more interesting to the consumer or watcher, I feel like you should do things what like Capcom has done with all their stuff.
Yeah.
They've shown Pragmata, they've shown Onimusha, and they've shown Resident Evil. Like those things, like you've seen gameplay from two of the three. Pragmata, you've seen gameplay, you've seen storytelling.
Yeah.
Onimusha is storytelling, and there was, I believe, tiny bit of gameplay.
I think there was. I'm not, I'd have to relook.
And then Resident Evil was solely just giving you snippets of lore, or the tiniest bit of lore, and just story, start of the storytelling. But yeah, I think game shows should be better, if honestly, a better flow of showing the video games and showing a mixture of content, what's going to be in the game and what's showing. But if you have never really played any of the series of games, then you should probably have context of how the game's going to be played. So if no one, if there was never a Resident Evil game and you showed Resident Evil and it was just solely cinematic, I want some kind of like
gameplay. You'd be expecting what the cinematic is showing.
Now,
that's one thing, like, final little touch, like, Diablo's a good touch on that subject. You have amazing cinematics, and then you go into the gameplay, and it's like a whole other story. It's like, wait.
This is not what I signed up for. This is like...
Still a great game, but that's the perfect example, is something you're not getting just by looking at the cinematics.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, there's always these kinks that could be worked through.
Now, since it's been years since we had like a legit physical and virtual showing of E3, do you think like the Summer Games Fest or other showcases with them, is that the new E3?
To me, this is what E3 is now. It covers everything what E3 did, except for you just don't have the live demos in person.
Yeah. You don't have the bigger live crowd audience there and the huge reactions and stuff. Or even get the chance to hands on a pre-alpha or demos there. This is definitely when these showcases are all in one weekend, it's definitely the new E3 for our generation or this generation of gaming. What sucks is because like what 2019 was the last physical showing for E3, and then I believe virtually was 2022 shown over the web because of COVID and stuff. And then 2023 was when they officially just cut ties. E3 was cool. It was probably the coolest way of showing all the gaming events and content and news for the next few years. But now we're in a different time setting, which is usually now Summer Games Fest, that allows other companies to show their games or developers. And then you got like Sony wants to show out all their main titles, which is State of Play. And you got Xbox Showcase, which usually uses a lot of their Activision Now titles and Bethesda titles and
whatever else they can
whatever do. Their first party games. And Nintendo does their own thing. Which is their direct, which they sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but honestly, I think that's for any company or any showcase, it can be good or bad. And I think this year has been one of the better ones. I feel like we haven't had terrible years.
No,
I think our we used to have droughts of video games, and I don't think we've hit one of those years in a handful of years.
No, there's times we have a couple months where, but that's about it. Not usually the titles stay up where they need to.
Right.
So.
Well, that is it for this episode. I hope you guys follow the socials, follow this, whatever. This is just the start of mini podcast. I don't know how to really end on this, but follow the channel or platforms for this podcast. It's Level Up Lounge. Hope you guys enjoy, and we'll catch you next time.
Later.